Welcome to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast, where we ask today's most successful experts and entrepreneurs to share the most powerful lead generation and appointment setting tactics they use to build their business and grow their revenues. Now your host from the city that never sleeps, New York, is Kwesi Sachijinai.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining the conversation. This is Kwesi Sachijinai. My guest today is Morgan Ingram. Morgan is a director of sales execution and evolution at J. Burroughs Sales Training. He's focused on helping sales development teams to enhance their skill sets and performance. In his previous role, Morgan was a sales development manager at Terminus, where he managed a team of 13 SDRs for those of you who don't know that, it's sales development reps, to help B2B marketers do account-based marketing at scale. And he joined Terminus in early 2016 and helped the company scale to become one of the fastest growing startups in Atlanta. In addition, Morgan started his own YouTube channel and actually a series with that. I really like that channel a lot. It's called the SDR Chronicles. And he has more than 100 videos providing SDRs with motivation, advice, and pure tactics, you know. And I'm sure we'll be delving into some of those tactics in this conversation. At only 25, Morgan has been named one of the top 50 sales leaders to follow by LinkedIn. And he's also a top 25 sales development thought leader by Inside Sales. His work has been featured in Forbes, Sales Hacker, the HubSpot blog, and the Harvard Business Review. So Morgan, thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So we both of us are part of the Enterprise Sales Forum, and I personally have followed your series on YouTube for a while. And one of the things I know very well for sure, just watching the videos, is you're very passionate about mindset. And I want us to talk a lot more about that today, especially in relation to cold calling and handling objections. But first of all, I want us to build a foundation to this. We know cold calling is not dead, contrary to a lot of fluff on the web. And when you do it right, it gets you the results. But then again, we also know that objections are, you know, an inevitable part of the process of calling. So I want us to, and I want you to speak to this so we can lay the foundation for this conversation. How important is it to expect and also prepare for cold call objections?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things right there. I'm going to start with the mindset because that's the most important thing. So the mindset that you need to have with a cold call is, first of all, keep a steady mindset. So that means the highs and lows that you face, you have to basically be emotionless to them, because if you're emotionless to them, you're going to keep moving forward and you're going to keep making the calls. And also, the thing that I've just realized at the end of the day is that most people are going to forget you within the first 10 seconds. After the first 10 seconds of that call, they're not going to remember who you are. So always keep that in mind when you're making cold calls. People are afraid of cold calls because they feel like someone's going to remember them or call them out. That's honestly not going to happen unless you say something really stupid. So once you realize that that person's not going to be combative towards you in the first place, then you're going to put yourself in a good spot. That's why I think cold calling's fun, for me at least, because I just treat it as, I just laugh at half the stuff that people tell me, because I know that they're not going to remember this phone call as soon as they hang up the phone. So you got to have that mindset and you'll be able to make more calls, and you got to be more confident. And so where confidence comes into play is knowing your objections and knowing how and also knowing your solution, but being confident on the phone before you ever pick it up. So knowing what your personas are doing, knowing their priorities, knowing their triggers. If you know those things, you're going to be confident on the phone. You're going to be able to handle a lot of objections. Now, when you first start off as a rep, there are going to be some objections that you won't be able to handle because you haven't been in the company as long, but make sure that you're being attentive during that training, the training sessions, to understand what your solution does. Every single time you get an objection, write it down and be able to combat that so you don't keep running into it and don't want to answer it.
This is so good. I want us to unpack the process of preparing for the objection. So let's assume that I'm building my machine from scratch. I'm just starting. I'm a small business owner. A lot of people that listen to this podcast are probably business owners and sales leaders. And I'm building my outbound machine from scratch. What are some of the few important steps that, you know, you found to be super useful in preparing to handle objections?
As I said earlier, you have to write them down. If you don't know what your objections are, then it just doesn't matter at all. So And when you have those calls from the beginning, write down objections that you are having trouble facing or that keep coming up that no one is responding back to, you can't overcome. And you have to A-B test how you're going to overcome those objections. So the normal ones...
When you say A-B test, how do you mean?
A-B test means that it's a 50-50 split, right? So I'm going to do one thing this time. I'm going to do another thing the other time. And I'm going to figure out which one is successful. Sometimes both of them are unsuccessful, but that's actually a win because now you know mm-hmm. those things I will no longer do. So you have to test that out for yourself. But what really comes down to is understanding the foundational structure that you're going to be using to combat these objections. And you have to find the answers for those because you're going to be completely lost and you're not going to be confident on the phone. When you're not confident on the phone, your prospect isn't confident in you, and that's going to put you at a loss.
Right. And when you say write it down, do you suggest, you know, create a script of objections and try to look at them when you're calling, or what is the practical process behind that?
It's a web. So it's a web track. So it's a web mm-hmm. calling track. And essentially what mm-hmm. you're going to do is these objections that you have, you're going to have different webs of how you would handle them. So maybe, mm-hmm. for example, like I'm going to a meeting, like I have an objection for that. Like I'm not interested. I have an objection for that. We're all set. I got one for that. We don't have enough budget. I got one for that. Like whatever someone says, like, I got it. Like I got an answer for it. So it doesn't faze me when someone throws these obscene objections at me because I prepared myself accordingly for that. Now, there may be some out-of-the-box questions that get technical if you're in a product company, or there may be some out-of-box question that is for that account executive that you're handing off to. That can happen, and that's fine. But what it really comes down to is writing those down and creating a web. Like if someone says this, then I need to either say this or this. If they answer this way, I need to answer this way. So you need to have that web inside your head or web written down to make sure you can navigate the conversation to that opportunity and to that meeting.
Right. And I want to play the devil's advocate here. I know he has a lot of them already, but for people who are new to cold calling, they might say, well, trying to use a web of objections would make me sound like a robot or not very human or conversational. What have you found to be, you know, more important in that scenario?
Yeah. So I would just say to that person like this, that's the science. You have to have the web. You have to have what you're going to answer with because you're already not overcoming those objections. So whatever you currently were doing, it's not working. So you have to have that in order to be effective. If you're facing those objections, and you're not going anywhere. And this is where it comes into the art. So the art is you, your personality. So if I wrote mm-hmm. down something, hey, this is the objection. Here are certain ways you can handle it. There's normally going to be two or three ways to handle it. So you don't have to choose the one that everyone else is choosing. You can choose another one. And the way you say it can be personalized to you. So there's an answer here, but the way you say it is going to be different. So for an example, I have different ones for when someone's heading into a meeting that I test out, that I continuously always test out. But my go-to is when someone's like, hey, I'm heading to a meeting. I say, hey, great. I'm heading to a meeting too. I got a couple seconds. Let me tell you what we do. So I completely debunk whatever they're going to say because if they're heading to a meeting or they're in a meeting, they're most likely lying, I believe, because like you wouldn't answer the phone if you were doing both. So you got to combat. I combat it. That's how I do it. But some people don't do it that way. They say, when's a better time to call back? So the thing is, I say create a web because it gives you multiple options. A web is not one option and a one-to-one singularity. It's one to many options. And then you have to add your personality, your tone to it, because how I'm going to approach it and how you're going to approach it is completely different.
I'm going to go totally off board on this. I know people say you have to make calls stand in, make calls sit in, whatever. What is your strategy?
I would say—
does it even matter at all?
For me personally, like I could make cold calls in the middle of a basketball game with a lot going on. I can make cold calls while I'm in the car on a lift. Like it doesn't matter to me because I genuinely enjoy the process and I can lock mm-hmm. in wherever I'm at to make that cold call. Obviously there's gonna be interference. So it's probably not a good idea what I just said, but my whole point is that I can do the cold call and I can announce myself whether I'm sitting down or standing up or laying down or whatever. But for most people, you have to be standing up because your voice and your confidence may not be there yet on the phone. Mine is because I'm confident in what I'm saying and I'm a confident person. But most people, they're not there. So they have to be able to stand up, enunciate yourself, and allows your vocal cords to get more of a voice. And when you have more of a voice, that the person on the other line is going to listen to you because most people who call are squeamish. They don't have a lot of confidence and they don't really know what they're even saying in the first place. So my thing is stand up if you feel like your cold calls are not going as well and people can't hear your enunciation. Sitting down is fine, but don't hunch over because hunch over is going to the psychological standpoint of standing, of hunching over. It's going to be you not being confident in the calls. That's gonna all correlate back to you. So standing up, that's the number one advice I give to people. If you're starting off with calls, it makes you more confident. It makes you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Fascinating. So a good part of staying calm, and you know, I'm just trying to piggyback on, you know, personality and the art. A good part of staying calm and sort of depersonalizing yourself from the cold call results is knowing your numbers. So for example, we do a ton of calls ourselves, and we know that the 10-90% rule, you know, works in most cases. So 10% of if it's a good list, if it's a quality list, 10% of them would definitely say, hey, this is exciting, let's have a conversation. And in that journey, 90% of them would say no. And I bring this up because I want you to speak to how important knowing your numbers is, the mindset of handling objections, in addition to the art of you know, being yourself and having a personality that projects confidence as well.
Yeah. So you're talking about just personas, like when you're reaching out to those individuals?
Like knowing the numbers involved. So knowing that, hey, if I'm going to dial 10 today, I definitely know that one person would say, yes, I'm interested. So you don't become fast when, you know, eight people say, nah, this is not for me.
Yeah. So knowing your numbers, knowing your formulas is key. That's something that I'm currently working on at Jay Barrows. I knew that at Terminus when I worked there as an SDR, I understood what my numbers are. You have to know that, and you have to backtrack it, reverse engineer. So if you're trying to set X amount of meetings for the month, you need to know how many calls you need to make each day to be there. Because what happens is that people are like, oh, I didn't hit my number. And it's like, well, okay, did you hit these calls every single day? No, I didn't. Okay, that's why you didn't hit your number. So it's important to understand what your formula and your process is, because that's going to be able to correlate to the end result and success that you want at the end of the day. So you got to know those numbers.
Love it. Love it. So there's also a big temptation, you know, when you cold call, you want to spew out everything you know about your product or service. And when your goal is to actually get an appointment, I feel that's a very costly mistake. And that's why the skill of handling objections and focusing on getting an appointment is so critical. So how important is, you know, as a salesperson, as a sales leader, business owner, if you call someone, how important is it not to sell your product, but try to sell, exchange value for the meeting?
Yeah, that's it. Like if you're trying to sell your product in a five minute call at max, then you're going to completely miss everything you're trying to do. And it's not going to help you out at the end of the day. You're going to put yourself in a very bad spot. So you need to sell the meeting, and you're providing value to give that person enough access and enough information to take 30 minutes, 40, 50, 60 minutes, however long that meeting is, to do that. Because the thing at the end of the day is, time's the most valuable asset. So if I don't feel like it's valuable for 30 minutes, then I'm like, nah, like it's not. And that's what you have to understand when you're talking to people on the phone. You have to be able to convince them that 30 minutes is a valuable enough time for them to spend to talk into whatever solution that you're providing. So stop selling the product, stop selling the solutions, features, functions. Like nobody cares about that. They just want to say, how is it beneficial for them? And is it going to help them in the 30-minute time that they spend with you? And that's what you should be selling, the meeting and the value.
Now, when you say access, how do you mean?
Access, what do you mean by that?
So you mentioned that it's important to give them enough access and information so they can actually, you know, take the appointment. So when you say enough access, what are some of the practical ways that we can actually use that?
Yeah, so what I mean by access is understanding the components of what they care about, right? So accessing their priorities, accessing what they are correlating with, what their organization is dealing with, giving them enough access for them to let you put time on their calendar that's beneficial for them. That's what I mean by access. You have to give them the right information at the end of the day, obviously, but the access to understand what are the priorities that they are dealing with on a daily basis. That's where you really have to dive deep into on the phone, because that's where people are going to really pay attention to you. Because if you just say the regular pitch like everyone else, nobody cares.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's so true. And I want us to move a little bit off the topic of value to time. And I get this question a lot, like what's the best time to cold call? And I'm really curious about what you have to say on that, because you've done a lot of calls. You've led dozens of teams to make thousands and thousands of calls. What have you found to be true regarding the time of calling and the sort of results that you get?
Yeah. So my standpoint on this is I don't call people during work. That's me. Sometimes I do, but my majority of calls are not. So I do that before work and then after work. So 7:45 to about 9:30 local time, and then like 4:45 to like 6 o'clock local time is when I call. So like when people are just getting in the office and when people are leaving. So the reason I do that is early in the morning, you're catching people early before they go in meetings, before they have any type of thing on their mind. So you can have a good, genuine conversation. And then after work, when they can't handle objections as much, and they're a little bit, they're not on point. So you can kind of get to the point of what you're trying to give, trying to sell them at the end of the day, like sell the meeting and get, bring them some value that they could at least listen to. And that's just my standpoint. I try to call people before and after, because I'm not trying to deal when people are in meetings, heading to something, have an agenda. There's a lot going on, things of that nature.
Right. And before you got to that kind of process, did you try calling during the day and was it not working at all?
Yeah, no, calling during the day works. I just found that calling before and after just works better for me. And how it stands right now is I'm full sales cycle. So I have to get on calls during the day and I have to do a lot of other stuff during the day. So I found that the best time for me was like, I got to call before and after work because I don't have anything going on then. At least I can make some calls. And so when I started doing that, I saw that it was working. But you can still call during the day if that works for you. I'm not saying that don't do it. I'm just saying that before and after work works wonders for me. And I've called during the day before as well.
Right. No, I totally agree. During the like off peak hours work a lot better. This is fascinating. I want us to touch on one or two objections and the kind of response that you found to be super useful for that before we wrap up the conversation. So the number one objection would be send me more information. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I got two ways to respond to that. So number one way I respond to it is, what type of information do you want to see? Why do you want to see it? And when do you want to see it? So if someone can't answer what information, they're like, send me whatever. And I ask them, what do they actually want to see? They can't give me that answer. And then I say, why do you want to see it? And they're just like, yeah, I just want to see information. And then I say, when? And they say, whenever. I'm probably not going to send that person information because they genuinely just don't care. And I'm not wasting my time to craft an email to crowd their inbox even more and give them information on my product, service, or the value that I'm trying to give them when they're not even trying to pay attention to it. So that's how I nip a lot of things out the bud to see, like, you're not even a person that's interested at all. And then number two thing that I do is I say, hey, great. You know, happy to send you information. I talk to a lot of prospects and future customers like yourself, and they tell me that the most beneficial thing for our time is to schedule a meeting so that we can follow up on the information that I send you. And I can go over with you if you have any questions. Does that sound fair? Most people, does that sound fair? The psychological component behind that is like, yes, you know, that sounds fair. Let's do it. I set up the meeting. I send them information. So now it's a win-win situation. If they don't want to set up the meeting, I at least say, hey, when's a day that I can follow up on this information? If they won't give me a day to follow up on the information, I'll be like, hey, look, sounds like this, you're not interested in this as much, then I won't send the information. I'm not going to send you information if we don't have a next step, because then it's just a waste of my time, a waste of your time.
This is so good. Call me later.
Call me later. That's a good one. So, I normally say I can call you later, but you know, since I'm on the phone with you right now, we'd love to at least have 30 seconds of your time. You can time me for 30 seconds. And if this provides no value to you, you can hang up. If this does provide value to you, you can give me another couple seconds and I explain to you how we can help you.
It's fascinating. I love it.
I'm not calling.
We can go on and
they're not going to answer because they're going to give me a time. And at that time that I give them, I'm going to send them a calendar invite. They're going to accept it. And they're going to make sure at that time to not answer the phone. So that's why I don't do it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just a way to get you off the phone. We could just go on and on with a lot of objections.
Give me one more.
One more. Okay. I'm not interested. Right off the bat. I'm not interested.
I love it. Great. I actually have a lot of clients and prospects that say they're not interested in the beginning, but I found out from, and normally you say a case study here that's relevant to them or relative to their job title. So it's going to be different across the board here. And then I say, based on that case study, you know, most people are willing to have a 30-minute introductory call with us so they get familiar with our brand and familiar with our service and our product. With that being said, I have 30 minutes next week, Tuesday at 3 o'clock PM. Does that work for your schedule? Normally, most people are like, yeah, I'll have a conversation, because you laid down a case study. You laid down a framework of why you kind of state the claim of why they're not interested. You're like, hey, there's someone else who like was in the same spot as you. And then you're setting up time immediately from there. And so they want to be familiar with the brand. And if they're interested to this point and they want to hear more about the product, they'll at least have a conversation with you.
Oh, this is so good. Well, what can people learn more about your work, follow up with you, send you an email, get coaching, wherever? How can they contact you?
Yeah. So main points of contact is YouTube channel, the SDR Chronicles. That's where all my tips and tactics and tricks are at. And then also jbarrels.com is where the training site is. And then if you want to find me or ask me any questions, Morgan@jbarrels.com is my email address. And then LinkedIn, Morgan J. Ingram, it's the best ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Morgan.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast with Kwesi Sachi-Jinai. Find out more about how to get high-value appointments at catalyze.io. And while you're there, check out the free resources for appointment setting. And be listening for the next episode of the Art of Appointment Setting podcast.